Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
When he talks about everyone who has been born, everyone who loves, we better understand that this is divine love he's talking about. This is something you cannot manufacture. But everyone who loves, who really has that and puts it into practice, that's a pretty good picture of someone who's been born again, born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is the heart of everything. So what's love about? Well, this is how God showed his love among us. It's love in action, not some sort of gooey feeling. He sent his one and only Son into the world, why? That we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love is not just some feeling, some, you know, getting together and, oh, I love you, and it's just some feeling that we have and we share. It can express itself that way, but there's so much more. You know, it's, what does the scripture say? But when we were enemies of God, somebody help me remember the verse in Romans chapter 5. But when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the, God sent his Son to die when, not because we were anything, but because we were in need, and he saw his power to change that. And he was willing to go to a sacrificial length to do it. And his Son, there he was, telling his disciples to love and giving them all these encouraging instructions. And right after that, he goes into the garden and he prays with such intensity that his sweat comes out like drops of blood. And he faces the greatest challenge of his whole life, his whole earthly existence. And there he was, facing that, putting that aside and saying, I'm here to give something to my brothers and sisters. I want to prepare them. And then what I'm doing is actually going to open the door so they can have my life on the inside. You remember how he talked about the fact that the Spirit was with them, but would be in them. That's the difference between the Old and the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, God could be with somebody, but they still were waiting on the coming of Jesus Christ for the covenant that lasts forever. And that's one in which we literally share God's life, and it's implanted in the heart. And God literally lives in us. That's what this is about. Thank God. Dear friends, since God so loved us, that is, he loved us in this manner. Some of your translations will say he loved us so much. Well, this is not that kind of a deal. I think the NLT says that, doesn't it? And that's true, but this means God loved us in this manner. This is how he loved us, is what the sense of that is. All right? Dear friends, since God in this way, we'll translate it, loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. There's another expression of what Paul, that it confirms what Paul says. Nobody's ever seen God. He's invisible. We see him through his Son, and God wants the world to see him through us. You see where, how important this is? Does the world need him? The world doesn't need our religion. The world needs Jesus in his people. May God give us that grace. Give me that grace. Lord, have mercy. The further I go, the more I see my need. Of course, the Lord's not telling us all this to discourage us, is he? But it is to point us in the right direction and to point us to the resource of all resources. Again, he never tells us to do something, but what he gives us, the ability, the resource by which we can do that. Thank God. So anyway, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Praise God. That expression, his love is made complete, is in there more than is in this passage more than once. But think about what God is about. God is not just pouring out his love so we can love him back. I mean, yes, we do. But it isn't a selfish, I'm trying to get something here. It's not like God's saying, I'm trying to get something here, so I'm going to do nice things for them so they'll love me. That's human thinking right there. But God, how is God's love completed? Is it just completed because he sheds it on us? Is that all he's looking for? No, he's looking to change me so that that same love that he has given me can come through to other people. Now you've got a flow that comes from heaven through me to you, but it also comes through you to me and for each of us who know him to one another. That's the completeness God is looking for, okay? This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Again, that talks about being born again and the new life that we receive. Folks, if you're just struggling and striving and you've never let go and you've never let God have your heart, that's the big issue right there. He's talking about a people who have literally been born of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify. Now John is talking about he and the other disciples. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Now, I better comment on that because it sounds, I mean, you could take that in a pretty superficial way. Yeah, I acknowledge that. No, this is a confess. This is the word that's often translated as confess, and it means a total from the heart agreement. And if I agree that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord, the one the Lord sent, how can I continue to be a rebel? How can I continue to live independently of him? I'm not confessing that at all. This is a heart level acknowledgement of who he is that causes me to be 100% on his side and against the world that is headed for catastrophe. So I just want to highlight that word and let you know that's not some superficial thing. Okay, so if anyone confesses, is another translation that you often see, that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. What an awesome thing. And so we know. Now, what kind of knowledge is that talking about? Yeah, this is a real personal knowledge. This is not something you learn in a Bible school. You don't just look in a textbook and say, oh, he loves me. I agree with that statement. No, this is a personal experience of the love of God. And so we know, but also we rely on the love God has for us. Thank God we've always got some place we can go in the worst and darkest times of our lives. It's the reality that there is a God who loves his own children. Doesn't depend upon circumstances, doesn't depend upon our feelings. There is a love that is practical, that is real, that God wants his children to rely on. Because if this kind of gets interfered with, and it does in many of us a lot of the time, more than we realize, if that sense that I am loved and that I can count on God to love me, you break that down and all of a sudden all the rest of it gets tainted and colored and interfered with, doesn't it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Then the simple statement, God is love. You want to get down to the essence of what God is about, what his nature is? It's love. It's someone who is so focused on the object of that love that he puts their interest above his own. But you think of a world, you think of a creation that he's putting together, that he's planning. We're the first fruits. Jesus was the first fruits, but then now we're the ones. He's building his life. He's growing us up as his children, as his sons and daughters. And when his work in us that pertains to our having to live in this broken world, when that's done, there'll be no more purpose for this world. History will be over. And then there will be a brand new creation, and it will be filled with the Spirit of God. And every interaction Every experience of everyone in that will be reflecting that same spirit of love and peace and joy. Thank God. Can you imagine? It's so hard for us to imagine here because we are so full of problems and weaknesses in ourselves, and we certainly live in a broken world where we see everything but what I just described. But this is where God's taken us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Again, you see where the resource comes from. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's the statement about being like Jesus. How can we be like Jesus and not express the love that we see manifested in him, not just in his words and occasional actions, but in the ultimate action of laying down his life so we could have life? Wow. You want to know what love's about? All right. Then he says, what I think is a very crucial thing to us, because this is a place where Satan interferes. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Now, why is that? What's the deal with this fear thing? Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. This is a crucial thing. If the devil can interrupt this dynamic of God loving me, then, you know, you've cut off the supply. I mean, a fireman can hook up, this is a crazy illustration, but a fireman can hook up a hose to the hydrant. But if there's no water, there's no supply of water coming into the hydrant, he's just going to stand there with a hose. And folks, if we are not actively living in the sense of God's love and the confidence that God loves us, that's pretty crippling. And I think a lot of folks are there more than they realize. You know, we have this idea when it comes to love and what we call love in an earthly sense of being lovable, capable of being loved, worthy, it would be the word, worthy of being loved. And how many people are there who in their life experience have had people that should have loved them that didn't? And what does the devil do with that? What he does with that is to tell them, it's your fault. There is something lacking in you, and that's the reason that you're not loved. If you were right, they would love you. Oh, what a damnable lie that is. Oh, may God deliver us until we realize that God's love for us is not contingent upon us being worthy of his love. Not one of us is worthy.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.